Well, good morning, Boston. Shocker. Sorry. No Ken. No Curtis. It's Shime. Fitzy will be along here momentarily, working out a couple of technical kinks, because you know how that always goes. I don't know what it is about Fitzy working with me. It seems that every single time, there are gremlins within the devices that prevent us from being connected right away. But that's okay, because Fitzy will be here momentarily. It won't just be Shime. But it is Chris Shime here with me.
Fitzy's here. The gremlins have defeated. The demons are gone. The great purge is underway. And no, I don't mean what happened at the station earlier this week. Shime, we are back, baby.
What's up, Fitzy? How are you, bud? It's been a minute.
It has been longer than a minute. I think it's been a minute and a half.
It's a long time.
I have to say, Shime, having not had a chance to work together, of course, since the Comrex failure of July 5th, 2024, I have listened to you. I have been in touch with you one and many a time.
Yes.
On the morning program, funneling you any info, stats, and whatever insidery, wonkish information I can, because you're my guy and I always want to make sure I can take care of you.
But appreciate you.
At the same time, your growth as you diminish, if you will, like small Shime, fit Shime, prime Shime right here, as we see in front of us. You are doing a bang-up job, my friend.
I appreciate you.
Bang-up job.
You referenced the 4th of July show. Me and you crushed it in the ratings book those 2 days. Well, that one day. The other day was, I was alone. But it's okay. The one day we were together, we dominated. We're back here again. They couldn't resist, over a month and a half later. They're like, you know what? It's about time we put Fitzy and Shime back together. So here we are. I appreciate those kind comments. I've been... When somebody asks me to fill in, I fill in. That's all, just trying to be a team player here, Fitzy. Step up when I'm needed, come up off the bench. Finally getting a shot to be more than just, a fourth quarter cleanup guy.
Yes. You've been doing more than that and then some around this place. It's great to watch you. Like, you used to fill in your pants. Now you don't that so much. Now you fill in on the weekends and holidays.
You're killing it, guy. I tweeted out that we were going to be on, and I was looking for it. There's an old picture of us back when, like, three iterations of the Midday Show ago, where I was much, much heavier, and we were both wearing our Cam Newton pirate shirts. I couldn't find it. Very upset with myself about that. But if you could find that somewhere, the old social medias, all time Fitzy and Shime photo.
I know exactly which photo you reference. And in a lot of ways, I just want to go back, not to try to pull off a big market transition just a couple minutes into the grab-ass-a-thon of our first break here together. But I want to go back to, late September, early October 2020, just in terms of the excitement about the anticipation, about thinking that we were on to something new, something more than just operational or functional, something that like would really work in the world of New England Patriots and just general New England sports in autumn. Like, remember, we thought like, hey, we might have something with this Cam Newton guy. Hey, maybe Belichick has flipped the roster accordingly. Hey, maybe this team is legit after all. And then, of course, a Cam COVID and a couple skip passes to Jacoby Myers later, we realize it wasn't necessarily back on just yet. But I think hope shall spring re-eternal this fall for the good people of Foxborough and all people of Pats Nation.
That's what I'm really hoping, Fitzy. I, for one, have been extremely hopeful, extremely positive, especially since draft day. I mean, pre-draft day, I was excited and ready to go. And then they drafted my guy. And so I have been very excited. I cannot wait for opening day, just a couple weeks away now. And I mean, we even actually get legitimate football today. College football, actual games that matter are getting played today. Florida State, Georgia Tech, I believe, kicks off at about noontime this afternoon. Florida State being 10.5-point favorites in that one. So that'll be
10.5 for sure.
That's going to be a great game. Just to be able to see actual live football that matters, not this preseason crap, like real reps from real players, even if it is the college level. So I'm excited about that. But I'm excited for the New England Patriots, Fitzy. I feel like too many people are worried. They're scared. They're nervous. I think they are just kind of anticipating a different shoe to drop again, right? We had the Cam Newton thing. We were hopeful for a moment. Things didn't go so well. Mac Jones comes along. I tried to tell you it was crap. People were hopeful for a moment, and then it was gone. And so now Drake May's here. He's not even starting week one at this current moment. And I feel like so many people are just like apprehensive in their attempt to be hopeful.
And I'll tell you the main reason I believe why. And of course, when you speak of Mac Jones, you should put some respect on that name because that is NFL leading preseason passer.
Good for him. Yes. Good for him. I'm happy for him. He won't see the field this year because Trevor Lawrence is gonna crush it. But good for Mac Jones. Happy for
him. What was that, 31-0 last night? The Jags beat the potential Super Bowl champion Atlanta Falcons. Wow.
Somebody sent me the Mac Jones 2-minute drill, and I'm like, brother, they were up 14-0. They won 31-0. Atlanta wasn't playing.
They really weren't.
Bodies on the field just to fulfill a requirement.
Side note to before we get into, and there'll be a lot of side notes during the program today, folks. So if digressions, side notes.
Welcome to the Fitzy and Shine program. What else?
Ellipticals and such bother you, then the Fitzy and Shine program just isn't your cup of tea on a Saturday. So your general approach, you, whether you were a coach, just as a fan, analyst, whatever it may be, Shine, what is your general approach to the preseason? Do you believe that the preseason is a good time to play your starters and really get them tuned up for the grind of the regular season so that by the time they get to week one, not week four or five, they can actually be in rhythm and you can start winning meaningful football games? Because I hate to say it, even though there are now 17 and pretty soon could be 18 games, every game is meaningful because you have so few compared to NHL, NBA, and MLB. Or do you believe that these are grown adults, they're professionals, the season is so difficult, arduous, and painful that you need to just basically give these guys a quick taste, remind them that they're grown adults, and be ready when the lights shine brightest come early September?
Yeah, for me, the preseason is all about the rookies and guys on the bubble. That's all this is for me. It is basically an extended tryout for all of those guys. The UDFAs, the late-round rookies, the veterans. The veterans just trying to make a roster. And then the rookies trying to learn what an NFL game looks like. That's, to me, what the preseason is for. My veterans, I don't care. Like, the years Tom Brady didn't play in preseason, don't care. Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in preseason, that's fine. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me. I didn't. As soon as I saw Caleb Williams in one game, I'm like, oh yeah, he doesn't need to play another snap. That's why, I wasn't overly concerned with the Atlanta Falcons did, for instance, with Michael Penix. They saw him for 10 or 15 snaps. They're like, yeah, we saw enough. We don't want to get him hurt. We got to have an option behind Kirk Cousins. He'll just get his reps in practice. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I get it. That's okay. If to you it's a known commodity, I don't need the reps in preseason. That's fine. For me, it's more so guys trying to make a roster, guys trying to make a name for themselves, at least to get onto a team to start a season.
Yeah, I don't need my veterans to be out there more than, let's say a half. I love the fact
I don't need Puka Nacua to burst a bursa sack. My thing.
Exactly. I don't need Jason Sehorn to want to return a kick in a meaningless game against the Jets, tear his ACL, and now my number one kick returning and cornerback option is out for the season. Because these things happen. That's a deep reference, folks.
Or Hollywood Brown football. Getting hurt on the first play of preseason.
Right. It's dumb. But these things will happen. J.J. McCarthy. Now, that is a rookie. There is a guy that you want to see get his wings. That is a guy you want to see get dipped in the river Styx and, get some meaningful reps so that when he gets his opportunity to take over for Sam Darnold and hopefully as the future for the Vikings, he'd be ready for it. But unfortunately, he got injured. But that's just the nature of the game. And these are the risks inherent to whenever you happen to be playing football.
And it's rare. J.J. McCarthy is literally the first rookie first round quarterback ever in the history of the sport to miss his entire rookie season. This is not something that happens on a regular basis. So to me, holding guys like that back and just not playing them is sometimes scared football. And I think that kind of translates into the New England Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. That first preseason game, Drake May throws the ball three times. He plays one series. I'm like, what are we doing? Get him out there. Especially if you have no intention of starting him week one, which is kind of what it seems like their plan has been all along.
Which is, yes, exactly. And so I'm with you in that it should be an extended tryout for your UDFAs, for your rookies, for the guys that want to catch on to the 53 that want to make a mark as well. I know Mayo, maybe we can share that audio later, was talking yesterday about how important it is for him to try to restart the undrafted free agent streak for the Patriots as well, and how it's great to see those scrappy, hungry guys that right now could be player 54 all the way to player 81 and could be at risk of, getting kicked off the bubble come cut down Tuesday, which is one of the toughest days on the sports calendar.
Yeah.
Which is why tomorrow night's game, believe it or not, matters. I'll go back to a line that Mayo used about the first preseason game. I really like this one as well. He said, you know, in the building all week, heading into preseason game number one against the Panthers, our line was, this game doesn't count, but it matters. And I think that's exactly what the whole mantra in the preseason for these players should be. It doesn't count, but it matters. So, yeah, you know, if you want to come in and grouse about your contract and, you know, kick garbage cans around and, you know, not play fair or, you know, gripe about your contract, you may actually find yourself somewhere else. And good luck to you there, and appreciate you and your Redskins.
Matt Judon.
Hashtag Judon. You may be somebody like, you know, Javon Baker, who comes in with, you know, reasonable hope and expectations and looks like he's going to be a thing, but then has some drops issues. Now, you know, you're going to make the team, but you may be set yourself and, you know, it could be a step back heading into a promising rookie campaign. Or you could be a Tyquan Thornton, who's been a perennial flash in the pan bubble guy, and we keep taking the cheese on him. And now, if we're to believe all the reports coming out of camp, he has a chance now to start to be the leading X receiver on the New England Patriots in a season where they have told you time and again by the moves of not getting Ridley or Ayuk and trading Judon and what they did with the draft and free agency, Shime. They are telling you out loud, this season is this is a 20-game preseason for us. We are just going to figure out who's a keeper and who we're going to kick to the curb.
Yeah, it feels very experimental in a way. And
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, you kind of need that, right? You're clearly hitting a full reset button. This is not just like a patchwork job. We're going to be right back in the playoffs. No. This is a full, like, strip down to the studs rehabilitation job that they're doing here, from the coach to the players, like everything outside of the defensive roster. It is fully kind of renovated here for New England, and it's different. It's something we've never really done. Like, even post Tom Brady, right, it's kind of, all right, let's plug in Cam Newton and see what we can do. All right, let's plug in Mac Jones and keep chugging. And it has just all fallen apart over the last 4 years, and so it's kind of been imperative on the craft to be like, all right, we need to strip everything down, restart a little bit. We'll keep the pieces that we know have worked, and then we will just start fresh with everything else. And I think that's what they're doing. They're trying to figure out their identity. I'm starting to get frustrated with the Drake May situation, Fitzy, and we're going to get to a couple of things we're looking for and want to watch in the final preseason game for the New England Patriots coming up. But I'm starting to get irritated with the handling of Drake May. And you and I haven't had a chance to really talk about this, so I'm excited to get to this today. But initial thoughts, like, if he doesn't start week one, are you okay with that? Or are you, he should be starting week one no matter what?
I am. And not as in, yeah, this is what I want. This is more about, I've just come to terms with it. Like, there are certain things that you want that when you don't get in this life, you can be outright disappointed. And then there are certain things that when you don't get them in this life, but you realize there's a plan or a reason behind it, you just come to terms and you enter like a phase of acceptance. And I am now officially in the, I've accepted that the plan all along was to have Jacoby Brissett start the season, give Drake May every opportunity to push him as hard as he could, you know, save for, an injury tomorrow night. And we hope nothing like that happens to anybody on the Mets, let alone anyone in the QB
room. Never wish
for
an injury.
Yeah. Save for some sort of catastrophic injury or something tomorrow night. The idea is to have the veteran go out there, show the kid the ropes and the way for a couple of weeks, make sure that the offensive line is set, and do everything they can in this full reboot, press the back of the reset button on the Nintendo kind of year to make sure that everything is set. So by the time he gets in there, everything is up to the best speed it could potentially be. And I want to also go back to one thing that you said before. I know we have to catch a trend and a break here, Shime, but I want to go back to one thing you said in the beginning. Your disappointment in the fact that it feels like fear and doubt are creeping into the minds of Pats Nation and people are just resigned to a miserable season that's not going to be any fun. The thing is, it really isn't the way that everything went with Cam Jones that has sent people into this unfortunate mindset. The way that Mac Jones was mishandled, whether you liked Mac Jones or not, whether you're a Mac Jones stan or a Mac Jones, I won't say hater like yourself, just a Mac
detractor.
Jones a Mac Jones critic or a Mac Jones disbeliever like yourself. Whether it's his own fault or the putting in the reverse engineered offense with the rocket scientist offensive coordinator and Matt Patricia,
and
the disagreements with he, Belichick, and many in the building and beyond. The way that that came to a head over the last 2 years is really what has made the biggest mess for Pats fans right now. And so I just ask, as they try to flush the roster, please try to flush your feelings, flush your expectations, and go into this with the most open mind you can, because over time, I think it could be really fun to watch football around here again.
I agree. I think there is a reason to be hopeful. I think there is like a sunrise on the horizon for you here. It may be dark right now. It may seem pitch black and ugly and scary as hell. But I think not too far off in the distance, there's a chance that, oh, like, we're going to actually watch some fun football. Like, when it's easier for a team like the Chicago Bears or fans of the Chicago Bears to see Caleb Williams play one series and be like, oh, thank you, God. This is going to be so much fun. They don't need to worry about anything else, because just watching Caleb Williams play five snaps of football in the NFL, even at the preseason level, you know it's going to be an absolute blast to watch. And I don't think the Patriots have quite, Patriots fans, that is, have quite gotten that yet from Drake May. And it's right. Kind of just like they're waiting. They're walking on eggshells, kind of like waiting for it and kind of hoping for it. But at the same time, they're just like prepared to be miserable. And it's no way to live. I'm telling you, this guy is going to be good. It's just once he gets in there, he's going to it may take him a second, but he is going to be a lot of fun. And there is a great reason to be hopeful.
Correct. I couldn't agree more. And I have an expectations analysis and theory I'd like to get to on the other side as well.
Perfect.
I'm here for all of this as we get ready for the game tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And don't forget tomorrow night, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m, possibly the two most electrifying hours of radio outside of our 3 hours this morning. Whew. The Six Rings postgame show following Pats at Commanders here on EEI.
Look at that. Great job, Fitzy. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the program today. 37937 if you want to text in as well. It is Shyman Fitzy filling in for Ken and Curtis. But right now, Jacob's going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox were defeated by the Diamondbacks last night, 12-2. Brian Baio earned the loss after he allowed 5 earned runs in 5 1/3 innings. Rob Refsnyder hit a home run in the loss. He was quoted saying, "We stunk it up tonight." The Red Sox continue to struggle at home. Their record currently sits at 29-33 at Fenway Park. They also sit 3.5 games outside of the third wild card spot as the Minnesota Twins lost 6-1 last night to the Cardinals. Alex Cora had this to say about the home struggles.
The inability to kind of get any momentum going at home. How much does that frustrate you to come home after a good trip and first game out of the chute?
Yeah, today was kind of a blah. Not much going on, right? So we just got to be ready for tomorrow. It's not like a preparation, you know. It's not that we're preparing different on the road, but like I said, you know, we got to figure out here and start playing good baseball at home.
Alex Cora also said that Tyler O'Neill is day-to-day and that he hurt his finger during batting practice prior to the game. The Sox are back in action today at 4:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Hall of Fame Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming are on the call. Cutter Crawford is on the mound for the Sox. Zach Gallen for the Diamondbacks. The Sox lineup has not been announced yet. John Lyons has the MassMutual pregame show at 3:10. MassMutual, insurance, planning, investments. Some other games to look out for around the MLB with wildcard implications. Cardinals at Twins at 7:10. Phillies at Royals also at 7:10. Shohei Ohtani joined the 40-40 club last night after hitting a walk-off grand slam against the Rays. And some interesting NFL news. Several members of the Chargers organization were stranded in an elevator late last night. The fire department had to be called and they were promptly rescued. Who let all the old linemen use the elevator at the same time? Patriots preseason continues tomorrow. They play the Commanders at 8 p.m. and the Revolution play tonight against Montreal at 7:30. My name is Jacob Lassner, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This is the Ken and Curtis program right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. No Ken, no Curtis this weekend. Instead, it is Shime and Uncle Fitzy hanging with you all the way up until noontime today. Got Red Sox baseball later this afternoon. And the Red Sox on WEEI is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Red Sox. We'll get to the Red
Shime,
Sox.
I got to jump in real quick on these Sox.
Please.
I know we are squared up. We have acquired Target, and we are locked on to football and the Patriots preseason finale. My disappointment with the Red Sox runs deep like the mighty Mississippi right now. It is just a shame.
Especially coming off two wins against Houston. It's like you're feeling good. You're riding high. You're only three games back. And then you do that against the Diamondbacks last night, where they lost, by the way, 12-2, for those of you who did not see.
Absolutely. On a beautiful summer night with a stretch run at hand, where if you play your best baseball or the kind of baseball you are capable of, despite all the pitching woes and the arm fatigue that they are currently dealing with, to play that kind of game, to lose by 10 runs to a team that has a record commensurate to yours, a team that you should absolutely be able to keep up with, let alone easily take 2 of 3 from, to stink out loud, to be the garbage taken out in front of your fans, losing by double digits at home, I hate to say it, but they're a lousy home team, and no wonder why there was the tennis racket guy a couple weeks ago that led to the unfortunate incident with Jaren Duran, because the Sox suck at home. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. It's really weird that they can't play in front of a home crowd. And their bullpen that had been so good the last couple games, that hadn't allowed a run over 8 innings, like was just dominating guys, comes out and... I mean, Bale wasn't good to start the game, but then Winkowski was also very much not good late in that game yesterday.
He was, I keep forgetting the name of the guy last year who was the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Remember, he gave, like, Acora left him in when they didn't make moves at the deadline, and the dude was left in for 4 1/3 innings, and he gave up 11 runs.
Oh, God.
Keith can remember his name the same way that Keith can recite the Tom Brenneman, like, Castellanos speech.
I'll be honest. I have tried to push all of last season for the Red Sox out of my mind because it made me negative. It made me super negative and super upset with the direction the Red Sox were headed leading into this season. I've been surprised, and I've appreciated kind of the pep in their step throughout the course of the year. But, like, last night, dude, you had so much momentum coming off two wins against the Astros. You needed to continue that here and really kind of continue to gain ground on the Royals, and instead you lost ground. The Royals beat the Phillies last night, I believe. They were up 7-2 the last time I had checked. Yeah, the Royals beat the Phillies 7-4 last night, and you end up losing another game. So now you're not just 3, you're 4 games back of the Royals in the wild card, and you're making it far more difficult on yourself down the stretch.
Yeah, and it's a night when the Twins lose, so if you're going to lose some ground to the Royals, but there's a tie, there's a scrum going on. You know, you got 3 people trying to go through the same turnstile with the Royals and the Twins.
The
and the
MBTA,
Red Sox.
You can do that.
Yeah, and they, one guy, you know, in one team like that, you have to capitalize on that. You know, okay, so they come in and they pitch well. Okay, fine. I don't know how much of it was the demoralization of watching Bayo stink it out and then just have Winkowski come in and absolutely lay a bowl burger on the mound. But, like, you can't do that. It's just, it's too bad because... I understand that at least if we have the Red Sox keep us emotionally engaged up until football season starts, I guess that's a minor W because that's all we asked. At least that's all I asked back when the win total projections came out for the Red Sox. And I believe it was 77.5. And I thought banging the over on that was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
To have the Red Sox at least carry us to Labor Day, if not just thereafter, to kick off of the NFL season was all I asked. So I guess they're sort of delivering on that, but to tease us by being in the wild card race, to actually holding on to a wild card spot, and then to now be at risk of fading away even before we pack the kids with Trapper Keepers pencils and pens and lunches in their backpacks, it's frustrating. I'll just be honest. Like, as a fan who still cares, it's frustrating.
Do you think people, or fans, and maybe you can speak to this, Fitzy, are more frustrated with the Boston Red Sox and how things are currently going, or more frustrated with what they expect from the New England Patriots? Because it seems like both are near a boiling point at the moment. Like, it's not quite full-on frustration with the Patriots. It's just kind of like waiting to be expecting to be frustrated, whereas the Red Sox, you're actually getting frustrated.
Is it waiting to be frustrated with the Patriots, or I got to be honest, Shime, like, is it is it partial indifference? You know, like,
do you think it's, you really think it's I see in Boston, like, I feel like people care too much for it to be indifference.
You know, it's funny you say that because having been now, I know Andy Hart has been to almost every practice, and I know.
But you're the man of the people, Fitzy. You're amongst the people.
That's the whole thing. You know, when I was down there, I would go over and work with the Patriots and hype up the crowd and talk to the fans and go back over to Media Hill and check in with the Perillos and the Giardis and the Graffs and the Harts and everybody else and the legend of Mike Reese and beyond. And I got to tell you, on both sides, you know, navigating both sides of the street like I do, I got to tell you, honestly, like, borderline indifference. It's not frustration.
Really?
It's not, damn it, how come we're not what we used to be? No one is comparing them to 2018, 2014, even 2019 or 2009. It's more just, nah, this team's really not going to be that good. So I feel like what the people are doing is holding on to, like, they're restraining any passion. They're holding on to committing. People are taking a very wait and see approach, like, okay, you guys let me know when I should care again, but for now, I'll show up. I'm not really going to buy much merchandise. It's why I keep tweeting out and posting on the IG stories that the number one selling jersey this year at the Patriots Pro Shop and in Pat's Nation is a jersey people bought 1, 2, or 3 years ago. It's a Mac Jones with duct tape over it, and it says May in Sharpie. Like, people aren't even buying Drake May jerseys. They're just waiting to see if this kid is a hit, if they're going to have to go through the Mac Jones experience all over again, and if Gerard Mayo is more than a politician, or as many believe, a puppet of the Crafts and Robin Glazer.
So a couple people on the text line, 37937, have pointed out, is it just traumatized, like being traumatized by Mac Jones? Is that why they're taking this wait-and-see approach?
Yes, 110,000,000%.
And here's what I would tell those people, like, it's an entirely new situation. Belichick is gone. For better or for worse, he's gone. It's basically an entirely new coaching staff. They are making it an absolute sticking point that things are different in the way coaches are handling situations over at Gillette. And so it is an entirely different atmosphere. The offensive roster is very different. You're starting to see a lot of different guys come in. I mean, we don't even know the starting offensive line for week one yet. And a lot of those talent guys, those crappy talent guys like Nelson Agholor and N'Keal Harry and all those guys are gone. And so, like, this isn't Mac Jones, although, like, this isn't that situation. It's not Belichick post-Tom Brady figuring things out and then losing connection with his players. This is an entirely different situation, and I think people kind of need to take the glasses off and clean them a sec and just kind of take a fresh perspective at this team. Yeah, it's going to be a rebuild. Yeah, the team may suck a little bit this season, but, like, there's reason to be hopeful. There's reason to be excited. I feel like being, like, just preparing yourself for traumatizing experiences is just a crappy way to live as a fan.
Yeah, but well, Shyam, now this actually sort of speaks to the root of the very nature and character of the average, I won't even just say Patriots fan, but like Bostonian, Masshole, or New Englander. Like,
sure.
You know, we are very adverse to change. We don't like change. I mean, come on, why do you think the one regional coffee chain with a very mediocre coffee
every mile
to absolutely dominate?
Which I'm drinking right now.
Yeah, which you're drinking, exactly. Like, you know, we do what we do. We are who we are. And people don't, you know, people are still pining for the days of old. I get it. But as we move on, I mean, look, I can tell you, like, the labors that they've gone through at Kraft Sports Entertainment and the people that put on your game day programming, just how fearful they were of even possibly tinkering with the entrance music, you know, the not going with the Carmina Burana into Crazy Train, by tinkering with it a little bit just to try to give a new team and a new era a new vibe. They were so petrified, or not petrified, but just sort of like, oh boy, I don't know, because you know how Pats fans and New Englanders go. And
I like
the change that they've made by going with Let's Go, which has Crazy Train as a sample in the background. It's like a nod to the past,
but moving to the future.
That's a new era and a new team.
That's what every company does across the
world.
Like, you update logos constantly. We've done it here at EEI. Like, you do it in any company, in any world, in any market. Over time, you need to update your logo. You need to update the way you market yourself because things change and there's new fans and there's new people invested in the product, or you need to get new people invested in the product. So to me, like, don't be scared of that. Like, lean into it. I look back at like the Boston Red Sox, I think are a perfect example of this, right? There have been times where the Red Sox have been elite, and then all of a sudden they'll fall off and they'll be last in the AL, especially under Dave Dombrowski, right? You go from bottom of the league, and then you are the best team, like wire to wire in the MLB, and you win another title. Like, there are going to be, maybe that was more roller coastery because it happened so fast, but
it's a little too peak and valley for some people, I believe. Yeah,
but like, that's kind of how you should view it, right? Like, don't lose confidence just because you finish in last place. Don't feel like you're in the muck and the mire and in the doldrums of the NFL just because you finished in last place 1 year or two. You're not the Cleveland Browns, right? You have the ability to go out and spend some money and make some draft picks and just rehabilitate yourself. And in a year or two, boom, all of a sudden you're back and competing again. And that's all we ever care about.
Yeah. And again, like I'll fold something else into the dough of why people are taking this wait and see approach with the team. You know, yes, there is the frustration about the way things went with Bill Belichick's dismissal or uncoupling or resignation or, you know, firing, however you want to look at it. And the fact that people believe that Gerard Mayo isn't really his own man. I think too many fans believe that he is just a marionette of the Crafts the operation at large at this point now. And that's too bad, because I think somebody coming in with a different energy, whether he gets out over his own skis verbally sometimes and has to retract things and is a bit political with stuff at times, fine, whatever. I'm going to give the guy a chance. I'm actually going to give the man a chance to prove what kind of man, leader, coach he can be. Okay, so you've got the frustration over the Belichick situation. You have the trauma that came with, as you said, sort of like the post-traumatic suck disorder that came with the Mac Jones debacle over the last couple of years, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. And then you've just got the New England vibe at large. And so I think all of these things are blending together to lead people to want to stand on the sidelines, you know, and we did get so spoiled for so long that I think it did create conflated expectations, but I think people have tempered those now. They just want a watchable product. Like, go back to the first preseason game. I before I had to run in the stadium and do my whole joke around the Jumbotron routine, I ran around the lots for an hour and a half for EEI, and I asked as many people I could the same damn question. What do you want out of this season? And I whipped up together a quick one-minute Instagram reel. Super simple. I just wanted to get a quick, like you said, a man of the fans.
Little temperature check.
A guy who wants to connect to the Pats people, right, Chime?
Yeah.
And almost to a fan, it was, don't suck. Don't piss me off. Just make me proud. Be interesting. Make it fun to watch. Show me that you're developing. Turn the ship around. Like, I think, by and large, fans are on board with the way we need to think about it. It's just too bad that there's not, like, that they don't have the shared enthusiasm for watching Drake May develop, to hopefully see Jalen Polk and Javon Baker turn into something. Like, I'm legitimately excited to see if we got some dogs on this team.
Yeah, I think there's reason to be excited, and I think people are still kind of caught up in the older, it's weird, like older NFL. You look around the league, like quarterbacks across the league are young and flourishing. There are so many good, talented young quarterbacks in the NFL right now, mm-hmm. and it's going to keep happening. I think one of the key contributors is the rise of like 7-on-7 football. I think receivers and quarterbacks are just going to continue to get better and better and better, and they're going to be better quicker, right? They're going to be better immediately coming out of college. Like, Caleb Williams already looks like it's just going to be a blast to watch in the NFL. And mm-hmm. I think you can expect similar things at a guy like Drake May, Jaden Daniels. He may be a train wreck, but he's going to be fun to watch for a little bit at least. And so, like, Drake May has that opportunity and ability to do that. It's just, I think for me, like, it's the frustrating thing for me is more so the way the coaching staff is handling him, more so than it is, like, the hope aspect. Because, like, I look across the league and all the days of the veteran quarterback are gone. There's mm-hmm. no more of those. Like, it's just Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's kind of it.
I know, and that's, I think, kind of what we mentioned the Falcons earlier, and this may be the most mentions of the Atlanta Falcons not related to Matt Judon in the history of a Boston sports radio station. I think they're going to be fun, and I'm picking them to win. Spoiler alert, I'm picking them to win the NFC South this year. Yeah, they should, by far. But yeah. I think the fact that they're going with the veteran quarterback, that they paid him so much money, it might speak to more what they believe about their roster and their chances in a division that is kind of ripe for the taking than it does, you know, going with the aged veteran versus the young hotshot. But yeah, no, there is a youth movement on around the NFL right now that should be very exciting for people. When you look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes, what is he, 29? And now all of a sudden he's an old dog in the league?
He's in the prime of his career, and he's one of the most veteran quarterbacks in football. Like, the only guys who have played more snaps than Patrick Mahomes, I'm pretty sure, are Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers.
And Dak Prescott.
Oh, and Dak Prescott. Okay, so there's like four or five guys who are taking more snaps than Patrick Mahomes. That's insane to me.
It's like the Bryce Youngs and the Jordan Loves and
the Anthony Richardsons and the Lamar Jacksons and the CJ Strouds and like
Stroud. Like the era of Stroud, like the reign of Stroud could very well be upon us, because I am all over that team this year.
It is going to be. There's so many fun things going on in the NFL. Like it feels nihilistic to just expect the Patriots to not get any of that, right?
Wow.
Like, there's so much good
time with the deep pull,
right?
Man, all the way back to the Big Lebowski talking about the nihilists.
It just feels like there is so much good stuff going on in the NFL. The Patriots can have some of that, guys. Don't worry. Take a deep breath. Like, you're allowed to get some of that. You're not going to be the Cleveland Browns of the next 20 years. You're not going to have 100 different quarterbacks before you find a guy. I promise. Like, it's not going to be that bad.
No, we're not going to have one of those weeping walls, or we're not going to have one of those jerseys that had, you know, I saw this years ago when I went to the Brady Returns game in 2016 in Cleveland, which was such an electrifying weekend. But you're not going to have, I saw a dude that had 16 different names taped onto the back
exactly.
of the jersey. Because it had been that long that they had been wandering through the desert of trying to find a signal caller. Like, you may have gone from Cam Newton to Mac Jones and ultimately to hopefully Drake May as well. You know, you've got to give him time. And I'll point this out. There was a fun video. My boy Mike Dussault at Patriots.com hit me to this last week. So this name will ring a bell, mostly for fans of Tom Brady and those of us who, you know, ravenously consumed the Brady 6 documentary a little bit over a decade ago. But this guy, JT O'Sullivan, he was one of the quarterbacks taken ahead of Brady famously in the year 2000.
Yep.
So he has now entered the aspiring Orlovsky arena, if you will, where there's a lot of guys like, Chase Daniel and what's his name? Binkner, whatever the quarterback is that used to be.
Kurt Benkert.
Benkert, yeah, exactly. All these guys that want to be the next Orlovsky.
Yes.
So JT O'Sullivan has started doing these breakdowns on YouTube. And following game two against the second string Eagles, he did like a 30-minute breakdown of the Patriots offense and Drake May. And it's way easier to get noticed, as you and I know, having had to traffic in social media far too much over the course of our, you know, young half century old careers and lives, Shime. He was very positive about what he saw from Drake May and also the AVP offense. Like, no joke. He was not trying to blow sunshine where it doesn't belong for Pats fans. Just saying straight up, like, guys, people are getting schemed open. This offense already looks competent and professional. Like, and Drake May is showing signs of development beyond what most people should have or could have expected, considering that he is a rookie and that he does have a veteran that they signed to start in front of him. So, you know, be patient, which I know is difficult around here, but also take heart. There are signs of growth and progress right now with the Patriots.
I'm glad you brought that up. We're actually 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Pats, their quarterback situation, the season coming up. Are you hopeful? That's kind of just a general question. Are you hopeful with the New England Patriots, or are you just expecting disaster? So you can let us know there, 37937 if you want to text in. It's Fitzy and Shime here filling in for Ken and Curtis. We're going to hear from Alex Van Pelt just a couple days ago talking about the starting quarterback and kind of, you know, maybe not great for a Drake May fan like me. We're going to get into all that coming up next year right on WEEI. Shimon Fitzy with you here filling in for Ken and Curtis on WEEI. That was Alex Van Pelt talking about what's standing in the way of Drake May from being the starting quarterback, and that would be Jacoby Brissett. Fitzy, I think it's pretty clear, or at least AVP has seemed to make it pretty clear, that he has a favorite right now when it comes to the quarterback race between Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, if there is even is a race going on right now.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's more a favorite. It's a favorite if you're talking about it in terms of, you know, expectations or betting. Like, you should bet that Jacoby Brissett is the starter week one on the road, 1 o'clock at Cincinnati. Should you say that he is Alex Van Pelt's favorite overall just because he's the veteran and he's coached with him before? Maybe, but in terms of who he believes is going to be best for the team, I can't believe that Alex Van Pelt, who has been highly complimentary of his rookie quarterback Drake May this preseason, I can't believe that he thinks that he's not ultimately going to be the one who gives them the best chance to win or the most dynamic football this season.
See, the vibes I'm getting right now are that Alex Van Pelt has had his mind made up that Jacoby Brissett would start week one for quite a while, whereas to me it feels like Mayo has at least kept an open mind and is actually being surprised by how fast Drake May is coming along. And I think in Mayo's head, there still is a competition. Like, I think that if Sunday night Jacoby Brissett comes out and stinks up the joint again, and Drake May looks awesome and the offense looks fluid and moving and just kind of vibrant, like, I think Jerod Mayo could be easily swayed into starting Drake May, whereas I don't think the result of Sunday affects Alex Van Pelt's, like, view of this at all.
Probably not. But let me ask you this. How much of this do you believe from Jerod Mayo? And if they're not all on the same page, because I think, didn't Mayo come out and say something to the tune of, and I think this actually is probably what ruffled feathers mostly, not maybe with the media, but more with fans in recent day. Didn't he come out and say that ultimately making the decision as to who is the starter isn't just his call?
Yes.
But rather it's him and Van Pelt and Elliott Wolf. Like, oh my God. I mean,
which kind of bugs me. How do you feel about that?
I didn't love that.
Yeah.
Why should Elliott Wolf? Why would the GM, executive vice president of player personnel, why would the Wolf of Ball Street have anything beyond input as to, yep, exactly. Cue the music Keith plays every time. Why would that guy have input as to who the starting quarterback is? Like, he's helped, he brought you the groceries. Now you make the menu. Now you cook, now you bring in the recipe. Now you cook, Jerod. Now, I mean,
if you need a QB
Bob, like, there's a goalie Bob with the Patriots, if we're going to call him QVP, if you will, with Alex Van Pelt, like, what a strange setup.
Yeah, Alex, myself, Elliot, and the rest of the offensive staff.
Well done, Jacob. Yeah, it's interesting. I take more offense to the AVP part of it than I do the Elliot Wolf part. Because to me, right, like, if you are the GM or whatever Elliot Wolf's actual position is, and you draft a young quarterback, your job is basically determined by that young quarterback, whether you succeed or don't succeed, and whether you keep the job or you're fired. And so the GM, I feel like, especially, and I think people underrate how impactful GMs are in coaching decisions across the NFL. Like, I think Elliott Wolf definitely would have a say on if we started Drake May or not. Whereas I want AVP's, like, opinion on Drake May and kind of what he's doing. But AVP's not making the decision. I'm the head coach. I'm making the decision. If AVP says, yeah, I'm really comfortable with Jacoby, Drake May looks good, but I'm really comfortable with Jacoby, I'm going to look at him and be like, well, who's going to give us the best chance to win a football game? Is it Drake May? Because if it is, he should start.
Right. In this case, it makes you think, you know, is the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, Ben McAdoo, the other Belichick coach in the safeties, Elliott Wolf, is Jerod Mayo acting like a president and he's treating his coordinators like a cabinet to a point where they say, like, Mr., you know, we should strike now, Mr. President, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And ultimately they lean in heavily and make those calls. Still, guess what? The reason why you're not just a puppet when you're the president, though many people believe that thing is that role is ultimately similar to how Jerod Mayo is conducting himself now, hence why a lot of fans are criticizing him as a politician more than a coach these days. It is your call. Like, you were brought in to be the head man in charge. Like, you're him. So if you think that it's Drake May time and you believe it, then you make that call, because the two of them, I don't think people really give a good blank about what ends up happening to the careers of the Covingtons and the AVPs. But people care about Mayo, and they especially care about May. And the two are inextricably linked forever. If Drake May succeeds, Gerard Mayo is going to look good. And if Drake May is a bust, Gerard Mayo is going to look bad or be looking for a job. So,
oh, see, I don't think that Mayo is quite as attached to May as other people do. To me, May is a direct reflection of Elliot Wolf. I think because of how Gerard Mayo was given the head coaching job by Robert Kraft, he was hand selected. Like, it seemed predetermined even when Bill was here. It would take a lot for Gerard Mayo to get fired, whereas Elliot Wolf could be out real quick. And so to me, like, Gerard Mayo could survive two quarterbacks. Elliot Wolf cannot. He cannot survive. I don't know if he can survive one.
Ooh. Now, it's funny because there are people at our very radio station, people in this market. Hell, there are people that usually man this particular post and that you also work with who I believe think that Gerard Mayo has like a year or two long leash tops.
Yeah, I don't think that makes sense.
I think it's much longer than that.
As the owner of the franchise, you don't hand pick a guy predetermined exactly who's going to be the head coach post Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, by the way, if you're just going to give him a year or two. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
If you were gonna give a guy a year or two, you would have brought in some. You would have brought in a Raheem Morris ahead of Gerard Mayo, kept Gerard Mayo on the staff, let Raheem Morris come in, flame out, and then promote Gerard Mayo and go for the long haul. Like, that's what you would have done.
Pete Carroll got 3 years, and the funny thing is, the guy didn't have a losing season, and yet he still was kicked to the curb. No, they're gonna give Gerard Mayo plenty of time to sink or swim, and we hope it's more the latter than the former. He's gonna have plenty of time, but The way this has all been handled is a shade odd to me. But when it comes down to reducing it and figuring out what the ultimate quarterback decision is, again, save for catastrophic injury or like Jacoby Brissett just absolutely throwing up on his shoes in the corner of the bar tomorrow night, he's going to be your week one starter. And I think maybe when we come back, we should get into, I'd like to hear if your expectations for when Drake May finally gets both the nod and the chance to take the reins has been altered, because my timeline has over the last couple weeks.
Perfect. Yeah, I think we'll get right into that next. 603 text, though, before we hit the break. Do they not trust Mayo to make their decisions? That's not a good sign. And I would tend to agree if it is all like AVP and Elliot Wolf, it's not a great sign that Mayo isn't the one making decisions. It seems, as Fitzy said, kind of figureheadish or puppet-ish, which isn't great. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in here with Fitzy and Shime. Filling in for Ken and Curtis right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.